Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a Talking Rugby Union podcast. My name's Joe Harvey, and as ever, I'm joined by Chris Heal.
How are you, Joe? You all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. And we're out and about at the Ricoh Arena today talking to two very special guests who've given us a bit of their time today to talk about their own podcast as well as look ahead to their season. We're at Wasps today. We're joined by Tom Cruise and Josh Bassett. Boys, how are things?
Yeah, all good. Thank you very much. That's a big introduction. You're obviously expecting big things from us.
Well, you've got your own podcast. I mean, this should be a fairly easy transition, right?
We plugged that early.
Yeah, we're normally on the other side, though. We're normally asking a question, yeah. So we're normally in control. We're out of our comfort zone today.
Yeah, my palms are sweaty.
But yeah, of course, you do your own podcast, which is called Any Sting Goes. How's that been going? It's a very good title, isn't it?
Who came up with that? It was the brains behind the title.
Yeah, it was
yours. But what was kind of the inspiration behind that?
I don't know, to be honest. It was just an idea just that we had in the summer. Thought there was a bit of a potential a link to be had, you know, get the fans involved and things like that. Give them a bit of an insight into what we do day to day, some stories, see what the lads are like, you know, away from the club, I suppose. We don't want it to be all about rugby, we want to talk a little bit about their lives away from it and some stories and just give them a bit of background, really.
Yeah, so who have you had on so far? Obviously, we just mentioned Brad Shields, just off air, Brad Shields, and then before that, was it Pudsey the Kitman?
Pudsey the Kitman and Dan Robson. So we've had three special guests so far. They've all been, you know, all the podcasts have been different, but all been really entertaining. I think for us is, you know, obviously we spend a lot of time with these people, but there was a lot of stuff that we, you know, found out for the first time. So it's really good, and we've been enjoying it, haven't we, so far?
Yeah.
Can you rank who's been the best guest so far, or is it, no comment?
No, they all offer something a bit different. I don't know if you've listened to the one with Pudsey. He's had a really interesting career. He's actually he was Pudsey the Bear on Children in Need, and he's done a bit of Kitman stuff for some football clubs as well. So just had really interesting life.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think he, you know, could compare football to rugby. He had lots of experiences that we were, you know, really excited to hear about, weren't we?
And the aliens was, aren't they? Nothing that we would ever.
Yeah, and I think you could feel that in that podcast. It did. It's been our longest one so far, and I think we could have done another 4 hours because there's just so much.
You know, it's a good podcast when you can think of another 4 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know you guys said there that, you know, it's great to hear these stories from other people, but is it also about the fans? Because, you know, the fans want to be connected as much as possible with the club. So to hear stories from Dan and Brad and also Pudsey, that must be pleasing for you guys.
Yeah, I think for me, that's the whole point. You know, I think We're the ones that go out on the pitch and stuff, but the fans play such a huge role for our club, and it's nice to give them an insight, and we try and interact with them a little bit on social media, get some questions and stuff. We try and say, you know, it's the people's podcast, and let them, you know, sort of run the way it goes, try and have an influence on the next guests and things like that.
Because in sport, it's, you know, it's from a fan's perspective, you want to be connected to, you know, the players that you watch, and you sort of see as role models. So is that something that you were keen to address, Josh?
Absolutely. We wanted, you know, to not open it up just to Wasps fans, you know, just general rugby fans across the whole Premiership, you know, hopefully eventually worldwide we'll get top of the charts. No, it was definitely something we wanted to do. You know, we wanted to be able to let the lads get their personalities across, because sometimes with a lot of media, it's a lot of articles, you know, lads are pretty well media trained these days, so their answers are very, very similar. So for us, we felt it was something that we could allow boys to like express themselves a little bit and just be in a relaxed environment to tell stories that they want to tell. You know, and like you said, improve that connection between the fans and the players, and it just makes everyone a bit more relaxed. We want it to be a nice, relaxed environment where, you know, everyone's having fun, really.
We talked about the name, so how come it's you two doing the podcast? Well, I've always told Joe, because I know Tom from a couple of Stockport days, that you're a good character, so I'd assume that's possibly why.
I don't know, really. I think potentially because it was our idea, really. It could
well, no one else was taking credit for it.
I think you're being very nice and saying it was our idea. I think it was your idea, and you asked if I wanted to join you. I don't know, I think we probably both like talking a little bit.
Like the sound of our own
voices. Like the sound of our own voices until we listen to it back, and then you realise.
But it's horrible. The first time you listen to it back, I don't know if you two are the same. Is it?
I never used to listen to them.
Yeah.
That's it. They keep sending it through, don't they? And they're like, oh, lads, any changes? We're like, no, absolutely fine. They're like, have you listened to it? We're like, no.
But no, I think as well, it's just something we're interested in. You know, it's good fun to do.
And yeah, we get to know the lads a little bit better in a different sort of context to just talk about rugby all the time, isn't it?
That was it. We didn't want it, anything to be too serious. We felt like because we were leading it, you know, it could be more of that jovial, more relaxed environment. And we want to get as many different guests as we can on. That's why we've had Pudsey on. You know, we want to get some of the coaches on. We want to get these people that have been in the WAS environment for a while. You know, maybe even try and get some ex-players back in. Some ex-legends, even potentially some ex-coaches. You know, it'd be great to hear about their experiences at WAS, because that's something we want to focus on as a squad this year, isn't it? It's about the heritage of WAS and about what it does mean to be a WAS. And like the saying is, once WAS, always a WAS. And that's why, you know, we want to bring these people onto the podcast to hear about their experiences.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously podcasts have blown up massively in the last couple of years. Have you guys got any favourite podcasts that you like to listen to, maybe?
Apart from your own. I know, Bass, you'd be your best answering this, 'cause I know you've got a bit of inspiration.
Yeah, so I do like my podcast. I like the Magic Sponge, Jimmy Bullard.
Yeah, that's great. That's
absolutely hilarious. Yeah, the Peter Crouch, obviously amazing. And then the Joe Rogan, I mean, he's kind of at the pinnacle of podcasting, really, and we're more than happy to try and take him down.
Yeah, I think the thing is, isn't
number
it?
Number one spot.
With like the Bullard one, it's brilliant because they've got all their ex-players now.
I was going to say,
so they kind of don't really have any responsibility, do they? So obviously, there's a certain line, and there are stories that you know you can maybe talk about in an after dark session, but there's some that are better off unsaid, I think.
And you talked then about bringing ex-players in and sort of ex-coaches, etc. Is that sort of where you want to stay this podcast within the sorts of direction, or are you trying to broaden it maybe out to a few other guys, maybe internationals, etc.? Or
I think we're just, obviously we're finding our feet at the minute, aren't we? We're only in episode 3, so we just want to, you know, kind of let it evolve organically and see where we get with it. Obviously, hopefully eventually we'll get to a point where we have our own million subscribers, we have all these sponsors, and we can do it as much as we can. But at the minute, we're just, like I said, working through a few players in the squad, few members of staff that we think, you know, people are going to find really interesting. And it's just about, you know, getting not only WAS fans, but trying to expand it to all rugby fans, really, that they find it interesting. And if they don't, then we'll admit defeat silently.
I can't see that being the case. In terms of people trying to find you guys on social media, so obviously we'll plug it at the end anyway. I mean, where's the best to find the podcast? Or Audio Boom, is it? Or
yeah, it's on Audio Boom. It's also on Spotify and the podcast app, which is on Apple. It's on Android as well, I think I'm right saying, yeah?
Right, so it's obviously gone down really well. I think I've seen it pop up on my Twitter a few times. I don't even follow Wasps.
I'll have to change that.
Hang on.
Live on air.
Live,
yeah, let's get it done.
Do it. Actually, he's going to do it as well.
That's the thing, in terms of feedback so far, have you been really happy with the engagement, especially from fans and obviously other players in the club as well?
Yeah, and do you know what, everyone's been really positive with it. Everyone's offering their bits of advice, trying to help us improve, trying to help us grow it. Like we were talking to you guys about the microphones and stuff like that. The main bit of feedback is the, you know, the microphones, and stop clicking your pens and bagging your details, because like we were saying, we are still learning ourselves like how to make it better. So
yeah, I mean, Joe's just clicked follow there on Twitter, haven't you? You've done it now.
It's done.
No turning back.
Lovely.
I think one of the main things that surprised us is how many of the playing squad have actually listened, and they're always badgering us saying, oh, when's the next episode out? Like, why isn't it out yet? We know you lads have recorded it, obviously, because they see us recording it. And I was like, I was never expecting that to be the case at all, and they've all given us really positive feedback. I mean, we've got 26 five-star reviews on the podcast app, so we're coming for you, Peter Crouch.
It's going to be on the buses, on the away trips, just blaring out on the speakers, the podcast.
Well, hopefully, maybe a little pre-game.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Get the lads
So many ideas. Do you want to move on from the podcast chat, Trister?
I mean, if you guys are willing to let us.
Yeah, you can crack on.
Great, so just... Shall we start with you, Tom? Because obviously I know from Stockport and sort of the growth into the club, and we spoke to Di before about some of the young players that have come into the teams, and they're playing university rugby, nationally rugby. You've been at that level. How much is that experience valuable to those guys?
I think it is, because you appreciate being here now. You know, you walk in and you're training with the likes of, you know, internationals, the people who you did look up to. And still do look up to, you know, your likes of Joe Launchbury's, Dan Robson's, and it makes you appreciate every day as it comes. You know, a bit of humanity, I suppose. But I think those days are vitally important because they say it's proper rugby, isn't it? You're doing it for enjoyment, and it's pure, I suppose.
Yeah, so because obviously now you've gone through that yourself, Tom. Are you able to put your arm around someone and say, this is the way, you know, the way you can do it and the way you can sort of make that step forward?
I suppose so, but you don't really get the opportunity to do that. But I suppose one thing that people could do is look at the route that I have come, and take a bit of inspiration from it, that, you know, it can happen. Because I was 22, I think, when I actually got picked up, which I suppose is quite late. I wasn't in an academy. So I suppose, yeah, not necessarily putting arms on people and telling them, but hopefully they look at my story and take a bit of inspiration from it.
And Josh, I know you were involved with AMTL from a young age. Is that sort of another experience that you can look back on and take pride from?
Yeah, definitely. I started with AMTL under 14, so came late to rugby, hadn't played any rugby before, and then stayed there until under 17s, and then eventually obviously went on to Bedford's Academy and got through that way. It's similar to Tom, you know, I'd never been involved in any academy stuff, never had any representative stuff, and then kind of in the space of 2 years I went from thinking I was going to uni to then being a professional rugby player, which was just absolutely amazing. And like Tom said, if, you know, if only a few people see the path that we took and they try it, then at least they've tried. And, you know, rugby's one of them games where it is about late developers, and I think you're seeing that more and more in the game, like we said earlier about the university path has, you know, created some great stars in the last few years.
Yeah, of course. I mean, do you keep up with AMTL? Because obviously they just got promoted to the Championship. Did you ever imagine that when you were kind of starting out there?
Yeah, so obviously it's absolutely amazing for them. That's my local club where I started. So to see them, and especially with Bedford so close, you know, I'm already, you know, trying to get tickets ready for that game because I can't wait for it. It was when I first started there, obviously the club was, I think, was in tier 7 or 8, maybe even further down there, and then they kind of had some, you know, key members come in and say, look, we really want to push this, and they've done it, and fair play to them. I think they're probably a couple of years ahead in, and they've admitted that themselves, but I think they've got a great squad this year. I think they've got a great coaching staff. A player I used to play with at Bedford, Daryl Vinodal, coming in, backs coach, I think he's going to be really good, and they've got Dave Ward as well, forwards coach. I just think, you know, I think they're in a point where they're like, we're staying semi-professional, let's give it a go. And I think they'll do really well.
Yeah, now you know better than myself and Chris, but to get to that first team pitch, there's a bit of a trudge through the woods.
There is a bit of a trudge through the woods. That pitch wasn't even there when I first started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was just a farmer's field.
I went with Stockport, I think, when they played in National 2 North a couple of years ago. And I know I keep saying, Tom, I know you from Stockport, worked with Matt Bevington as well. So what was that sort of experience like playing for Stockport? Because was it your local club?
It was my local club,
closest club to you, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was brilliant, yeah. I absolutely loved it. I think just it's playing with your mates, isn't it? And I suppose that's what rugby's all about. I think whether you're professional or, you know, playing wherever you play, and it's about playing with your mates and enjoying it. We're fortunate enough to do it as our jobs, but I think deep down we'd be playing anyway, we're just lucky enough to get paid to do it.
Are we mates or are we colleagues? I'll let you off with mates.
You tell me, mate. No, you probably can't see this, but that was a gaff stare from Tom.
We've got a podcast, yeah,
so we're definitely colleagues.
Yeah, definitely colleagues.
Yeah, I see how it is, mate. I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't have changed it for the world. There was opportunities potentially to move a little bit quicker than I did with Macclesfield, who were in that one at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved it that much, I wanted to stay and play with my mates.
Yeah, but I first came across Tom on a PE trip with Wilms Hawaii, and he started teaching us the Tony Yeboah goal. I hope that's not a thing that's continued when you've come round to other clubs, Tom, since you've moved on from Stockport.
Yeah. That's Matt Bevington influenced that as well. Yeah.
That some of us like, who the hell is Tony Yeboah? But then obviously a few of us knew it. But
what a goal.
Yeah, it was a great goal. And obviously you talk about the Northwest kind of thing, and at the moment the Northwest rugby is, with Sale obviously being the main team, so do you still hope that Northwest rugby can grow, Tom, because of your roots from there?
Absolutely, yeah, that's massive. I think Northern rugby in general, it's tough because Leeds have obviously, it's been highlighted that with their financial struggles, Newcastle going down, Sale have sort of taken the limelight, and hopefully they can fly the flag for the Northwest, but hopefully not too well.
Yeah, hopefully not too well. And just Josh, looking sort of the present, really looking into the new season, it was quite the summer for you. I know you were packing your bags and ready to go on holiday to Dubai, and then all of a sudden England around the corner. I mean, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. My missus wasn't very happy, but no, yeah, they still got to go away, and for me, obviously, it was my first kind of experience of representative rugby, and being in that environment was absolutely amazing. I loved every minute of it, and I mean, what a week it was, and I think what capped it off was really getting that win against, you know, a Galactico Barbados team, really.
And a try.
And a yeah, I was gonna say the try as well, yeah.
Has he carried on talking about it, Tom, or?
Do you know what? He might look flash, but he's very humble, to be fair to him.
Oh, we're mates now, mates, we're not colleagues anymore.
Is that actually like colleague chat? I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, obviously, that England call-up came at the end of what was quite a long season for Wasps, really. Of course, didn't get top six, no Champions Cup rugby at the Rico next season. Was there disappointment amongst the squad with how things ended?
Definitely. Obviously, everyone wants to be in the pinnacle of rugby, and that is the Champions Cup. And we felt there was just a period kind of, you know, before and after Christmas that probably let us down, not picking up a few bonus points where we could have, even a few losing bonus points, which potentially, which cost us, but we didn't deserve it, otherwise we would have got it. So for us, you know, we're excited about the Challenge Cup, we're excited about that. It's all been well documented how tough this season's going to be with the World Cup pushing it straight back. I think there's something like 19 weeks of rugby on the bounce, which is, you know, why we've got a bigger squad this year. We've invested in that youth coming up from the academy, and I think we're all excited for that challenge, and we're all excited for this pre-season to be out of the way, to be into games.
Yeah, because that's the thing. A lot of the teams seem to have a lot of depth after like last summer. It seems like everyone's recruited quite heavily, kind of to get that quality depth, not just players, not just bodies in the door.
I think for us especially, it seems like, you know, just the way that rugby's going is you do pick up injuries, and you do need depth in your squad. I love the route that we've taken this year in particular with investing in youth, because, you know, you put structures in place for especially invest in the future. I know in my position, especially with Alfie Barbary coming through, who's trained with us a little bit so far this pre-season, and Gabriel Ogra who, as well, who I think gets a little bit forgotten because Alfie's got such a big name coming through. I think we're looking really strong, and if we do pick up injuries, I think that we have got enough depth for people to step in.
Because it wasn't like you were too far off the pace last season. It was 51 points on par with Bristol. And was it like two wins, you would have been top six, probably top four?
Yeah.
That was how we felt. Obviously, coming into that last kind of block, we felt we were there or thereabouts, and we just needed a few things to go our way. And you're coming into team meetings on a Monday, and one minute we're, you know, 1 point off the top four, then you're looking the other way. It was so close, and that's just, you know, shows how tight the Premiership is, and it's going to be even tighter this year. Obviously, with London Irish coming up, investing so heavily, and it's a challenge that we're really excited about. We don't believe as a squad we performed where we should have last year, so we're excited and can't wait to get back out there to, you know, right a few wrongs.
You mentioned London Irish there, Josh. Tom, one of your former clubs, looking forward to coming up against them that season?
Yeah, I am. I am, actually. There's still a few faces there that were there when I was there, and it's nice to see them get back up, because when you're I was in the squad the season that they got relegated, and it's such a horrible place to be. So it's nice to see them back up, and like Josh said, they've recruited quite heavily. And I think I saw I was going to say Owen Franks. They're not signed Owen Franks, have they?
Northampton, yeah.
Jeez, God, I don't know where I was going with that. But
Naholo,
no,
were you thinking of Naholo?
Naholo, yeah. Not in the World Cup squad. Yeah, so he'll be there all year. So, you know, hopefully they can make a fight of it and stay up, because they have invested heavily. So it'd be a shame to see them go back down again.
And around your England call-up, Josh, you said, I've got a lot more to give. So is that sort of embodied with the whole club? Do you think that this going into this season, you guys have got a lot more to show?
Definitely. I think as a squad, we want to just be the hardest working team in the league and see how far that gets us. And I think it will get us pretty far. I think we've worked very hard so far in pre-season, as I'm sure everyone in the Premiership. But we just see ourselves, you know, being a squad that's going to outwork everyone. We come in every day looking to get better, and I think we've, you know, achieved that so far, and we're actually excited about the challenge ahead. We're excited about the games we've got to play. We're excited about our European group. We're excited about every aspect of it, and like I said earlier, we just can't wait to get started.
It's quite refreshing to hear that, Joe, isn't it? That everyone's looking forward to the new season and so excited to get going.
I'm not.
You're not. Oh no, Joe is a Newcastle fan. Oh. Just to put that out there. So, and for you personally, for you personally, Tom, in terms of nailing down that hooker position, were you really pleased with how last season went for you?
Yeah, I was in terms of minutes. I think form wise, I don't think I found the form that I did in the previous year, especially in the lead up to Christmas. But I thought after Christmas came, I thought I was playing some pretty good rugby. It'll also be nice to see Tommy back fit, and hopefully he can get a full season under his belt, and we can share the load a little bit, because for me, like we talk about depth, you know, for me it's about having our best players fit and available for selection so that Wasps can be the best team they can be.
And I'll go back to the Northwest stuff. I know Tommy was at Mac as well, and I know you're involved with Looseheads, which is something that's branched out from the Northwest. How important is it for you to be involved in something like that, Tom?
It's absolutely massive. I know it's something that is coming into the limelight more and more. We're seeing players come out and tell stories that about their own struggles that they've had. So anything we can do to sort of spread the message, I suppose, that it's okay to talk to people and we all have our own battles, I think it's hugely important and only beneficial.
Yeah, no, and you guys still in the primes of your career, so is that really important as well, just to focus on what it's like to finish after the game as well?
100%, and you know, we're very fortunate. The RPA do a lot of work with everyone individually as teams across the whole Premiership, and they're really good at, you know, making sure you're chasing up on your interests and looking forward. That's why, you know, partly why we've got any sting goes going. It's something that we were interested in and wanted to give a go, and you know, there's plenty of lads doing other ventures. Me and James Gaskell, we've also got a health and wellbeing corporate and personal business that we've just started as well. So it's these things you need, because like you said, like Cruzy said, it's kind of when you get to your end of your career and you're thinking what's next, that's when, you know, these issues do arrive. And It's a sudden drop, and I think the things that Loosehead's doing and the RPA are putting stuff in place now to make sure players come out the other side are in a good place, because that is when your families, you know, are relying on you, really.
And that podcast just give you that platform to, you know, talk about these things, because, you know, rugby is, you know, quite a macho game, and some people won't come out and say it. So that, as well as getting engaged with fans, having a bit of fun with it, is also quite a serious side to it as well.
100%, and that's something that, you know, that we want to bring in, and you know, it's hearing about lads' experiences, and I think that's something we've been better as a squad this year, is actually, you know, making sure that people are okay mentally as well as physically, and I think that's going to become more and more relevant as, you know, seasons go on.
Yeah, of course, because it seems impossible not to mention, but obviously, Kieran and Miles' story last week. I mean, reading that, it was quite stark, because obviously he was having a play. He talks about it in the piece. He was having a good season, but then obviously what was going on behind the scenes. Did you guys even have a clue that was going on? Or
it really shocked me, because I don't know if you've met Kieran.
No,
he's like obviously an amazingly like intelligent person. Really like assured of himself. He seems like the sort of person that knows exactly who he is. Which was actually highlighted more to me the need to speak teammates and make sure they are okay, because sometimes it is, you know, someone looks absolutely fine, they're having a laugh, they're around the boys, they're what you would class as normal, but actually that's just how they are at work. If you take them out of that environment and have a chat with them away from everything, they're not actually, you know, obviously got struggles.
Yeah, of course. And now we'll kind of move on a bit now to Wasps' kind of pre-season campaign. Obviously, a few new names in the team. Malachi Fakatoa, Tumaga Allen, Mattia Manozzi, who's not here yet, but will join up after the World Cup. I mean, not bad names.
Yeah, no. They're big names. I'm hugely excited. I know Bass has said how excited we are to get going, but playing rugby with these huge names who you play professional sport, but you still look up to people even if they're playing with you in the same team, and especially Malachi walking in. He's in my changing room, just walking in and seeing him, he's got a presence straight away, and obviously it's been documented as well that he's really good pals with Lima as well, so we're hoping that we can get a bit of a combination going there and we can get the best out of both of them.
Yeah, are you excited to play alongside Malachi then, Josh?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously got to the pleasure of playing against him. I'm going on about
that
was my next question.
When he played for the Barbars, it was obviously great to see what he could do, and he caused us a lot of problems that day, so it'll be good, you know, to be on the receiving end of, you know, some of his offloads. But no, like Cruzy said, all the new lads have really come in and bought into what we're doing this this season, and with it being a longer pre-season, it's really good because you get them for a bit longer, you get them embedded a bit more, you get them used to the environment.
Yeah, and a couple more for me. You know, you played a lot of minutes last year, Josh. I think it was 86% of the minutes last year. So are you looking forward to being as consistent as you were last year, taking it into this year?
Definitely. I think that's, for me, is just, you know, consistency and, you know, reaching my potential. I still think I've got a lot more to give, a lot of things to work on, a lot of things to improve on. And that's what I'm excited to do, is just improve every day.
Yeah, and Tom, you signed the new deal earlier this year around March, April time. Was the main reason behind that because of the vision and direction the club is going in at the moment?
Yeah, look, I love it. I think this place became home for me really early from me joining my original contract. So I've seen, you know, improvement in the environment year on year, and the disappointment of last year is only motivating us to be better this year. So yeah, really really excited.
You told me you signed that new deal for any stingos. That's the reason.
And yeah,
just a clause at the bottom of the contract. Well, guys, I really appreciate you. Me and Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time out to speak to us about the podcast and all things WASP. Just again, it's all, you can find your podcast on podcast app, Audio Boom,
Spotify.
Get subscribing.
Definitely get subscribing. Any feedback, any questions, tweet at WASP. We're going to open up any Stingo's Twitter account, nice, so we can just get live and direct to the fans. But yeah, tune in, review us, let us know. We just want to get better, and if we're rubbish, you can turn us off.
I'm sure that won't be the case. Well, there, we'll be definitely listening to it. And thanks again for your time today, lads.
Cheers, John.
Thank you.
So yes, that was our podcast with Tom Cruise and Josh Bassett, the hosts of the Any Sting Goes podcast, which you can find on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Audio Boom, which will distribute it to various other podcast services. Now, myself and Chris obviously would really like to thank WASP for allowing us the time with Josh and Tom. You know, it's not very often you get given those opportunities, so thank you very much to the media officers at WASP, and of course, Tom and Josh, for actually letting us talk to them for some time, because media days are often long and fraught days, which not all players enjoy, which, you know, is completely understandable. But yeah, so I just kind of want to read out the guys' Instagram and Twitter @, so you can basically go follow them if you want to see more from them, because, as you can tell from the podcast, two very entertaining individuals. So to find Tom on Twitter and Instagram, it's cruise_dog2 on Twitter, and then just cruisedog on Instagram. Whereas for Josh, it's _JoshBassett on both Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, thank you very much again. Chris's socials is C_Heal for Twitter and Instagram. Mine are @JoeHarvey34 on both, well, not both, but on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. So yeah, Talking Rugby Union, you can find @TalkRugbyUnion on Twitter, Talking Rugby Union on Instagram, and just type in Talking Rugby Union on Facebook. Well, this is just the very start of our World Cup coverage. I mean, there's going to be podcasts pretty much after every England game and live streams and all sorts. So yeah, please keep an eye out on Talking Rugby Union across the World Cup period, as well as after, when, well, we'll be doing a lot more domestic and then going into the Six Nations. So yeah, thank you very much for listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast, and I'm sure you'll hear us next time.